And we are going to go ahead at 6:30 on February 15th, 2024. We're going to go ahead and call the Sunrise Manor Town Advisory Board to order. First order of business is the Pledge of Allegiance. We can all stand for Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, our roll call. We will go ahead and start. I believe Paula must be excused, so.
Yes.
Earl Barbeau.
Harry Williams, Chair.
Sondra Cosgrove.
Stephanie Jordan.
We do have a quorum. Okay. Next line of business, we will go ahead and start with our public comments. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. You'll be afforded the opportunity to speak in individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items within the jurisdiction but not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of the agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Seeing none, I will go ahead and close public comment. And we will go ahead and move on to our next item, which is approve the minutes from our February 1st meeting. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve the minutes as presented.
There's a motion to approve the minutes as presented. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay. Next item, approval of the agenda for tonight's meeting, February 15th, 2024. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
There's a motion to approve the minutes for this evening's meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And opposed? Next item is our informational item. Do we have any informational items?
Yes, Chair. Just a couple of comments. It is an election year, so I just wanted to remind folks about the rules with election candidates and town board roles. So TABS and CACs may not place a candidate on the agenda. TABS and CACs cannot endorse political candidates, and any request should be declined. Members may privately endorse candidates with disclaimer, including their official title. So, of course, anyone towards the end that wants to speak during second part of public comment can, because that is open to anything. Same standard rules apply. 3 minutes.
Question.
Yeah.
Do I have to note that I do work for a politician that is running for an office?
Okay. No, that has nothing to do.
They're not running in this particular area, so okay,
no,
fine.
This is just if someone comes in and wants to be on an agenda.
Okay, perfect.
Like officially on an agenda. Anyone's welcome to speak at the second part of public comment.
Okay, just wanted to clarify.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then another informational item, we are having another couple sessions for Title 30. One is March 12th at 9:30 a.m. and the other one's April 9th at 9:30 a.m. and they are virtual. You can find them on our website, clarkcountynv.gov. Also, we did have a town board training for those who cannot attend virtually. I sent an email if you guys can review the information, especially the planning, because there's a couple of the new Title 30 tips and tricks, and then just send me the trained acknowledgement.
Oh, it was riveting.
So is that so? This is something new. If we didn't attend the.
So every year the town board needs to attend.
Right, I attended the virtual one.
Yeah, then you're good.
Okay, this year?
This year.
Yes. Yeah, just the one that we had virtually that was half day Saturday morning or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know if it was a separate one.
Okay.
Okay.
Perfect. So if you did not attend that one, this is the opportunity to send.
I have not, and I probably need to give you my not county email, but my regular.
I sent it to you your non-county email.
Okay.
I'll send it to you again.
If you would, please.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else?
Thank you. That's it.
Okay. With that being said, we are about to move into our next item. But however, before we do move on to our next item, I do want to first congratulate Stephanie for her retirement from the county.
Thank you.
I know she was able to miss our last meeting, but she officially has retired. So I just want to say 30 years. So congratulations.
Thank you.
And some of us are still going through.
I'm sorry.
So Our first item is our first planning item, and this item will be going before the Planning Commission on March 5th, 2024. It is a extension of time, or ET24400006UC-21-0422, Crystals LLC, use permit, first extension of time for a single-family attached residential structure, design review for a single-family attached structure on 0.1 acres in an RS3.3 residential single-family 3.3 zone, generally located on the west side of Palm Street, 380 feet north of Cedar Street within Sunrise Manor. Is the applicant present?
Yes.
You can come forward, state your name. Yes. Yeah, and then you guys just state your name. This is pretty much an extension of time from your last approved
conditional
use permit. So, if you could state your name, and then you can briefly go over the project again if you like. But it's just an extension of time. So,
I'm Kevin Robles. I'm Ignacio Robles.
Okay.
It's just like you said. It's just an extension of time. We just need a little bit more time. We're trying to apply for another conditional and site improvement, so we just need more time to get that going. We did originally work with a different architect. We had to switch over, which caused a bit of delay in time, so we need more time so they'll keep working on it.
Okay.
Probably the easiest way to explain it.
Okay. Cool. This is a public comment. I'll go ahead and open it up for any public comment. Seeing that there is none, I'll go ahead and close public comment. Is there any comments or questions from the board? Okay. Staff has recommended approval. Is there any motion? I do have a personal pet peeve about extension of time. So given that this is your first one, when you start getting into the two and the three and the fours, then I start getting concerned about projects. But given that this is your first one, I don't have a problem with it at all. So.
Well, could I just add something real quick to that? Now that we've gone through this problem, we're gonna not have this problem ever again.
Okay, no problem.
What really happened is that our architect, we weren't able to get a waiver of conditions with our original. He's a land surveyor that was helping us do our civil plans, you know. So with that confusion and him not being able to get us the waiver, once we actually got to do our extension, it was too late. And, you know, through all this, we were able to figure everything out, and we'll be able to do everything more timely.
Okay, no problem. Okay.
A little all learning right. process.
Okay. Yeah, it definitely was.
So I'll do a motion to approve per staff recommendation.
Okay, there's a motion to approve per staff recommendation. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? All right. Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Just good luck, guys.
Good luck. Yeah, you guys can go if you want.
Yeah.
You don't have to stay for the whole thing.
They look like they're in the principal's office. Are we going to go home now?
Okay. Now we are moving on to item number, second item under planning and zoning, which is WS-24-004 Royce Shadow Mountain Village LLC, waiver of development standards to reduce the throat depth to a call box in conjunction with a manufactured home park on 30.9 acres in a RS5.2 residential single family 5.2 zone, generally located on the south side of Karen Avenue and the east side of Lamb Boulevard within Sunrise Mountain. Is the applicant present? Oh, and this item will be going straight to the Board of County Commissioners on March 6th, 2024.
Yes.
Applicant present.
My name's Quentin Pounder, and I represent the applicant. There's some exhibits for you to look at.
Thank you.
Like that. Pounder, P-O-U-N-D-E-R. So my clients own and operate a 55-plus community at 2800 South Lamb. When they acquired the property, there was 50 homes that were unrepairable. So through the course of ownership, they've made tremendous strides in improving the property. They've demoed 50 houses. They're bringing in new houses. The clubhouse has been remodeled, pool deck, pool furniture, a lot of new asphalt. I have been project manager through 90% of that work. So I feel like I've come to know the area fairly well. In the course of this, my clients had identified a number of transients that are moving through the area and were stealing from the residents. So during the resident meeting, they said, you know, what about a gate? And so clients have now spent the last 2 years endeavoring to put a gate in. So we've done the engineering, the design, structural for the gates. We took a house out, and we're going to lose a home site. If you've dealt with any homage owners, that's a huge deal. Losing a home site is like losing a friend. So that's pretty important. So they felt that this initiative was pretty important. So here we are today. So on your first page, that's just the Alta.
You know, a part of it is you can put it like that, and then you can kind of talk to us.
Face it towards you. Be careful because it's a board.
Perfect. Okay. Then you can do that, and then
perfect. Okay.
There you go.
All right. Well, I'm new at this.
So. Oh, not a problem.
All right. So we're looking here is the Alta survey. The access gate would go in right here. This is Lamb, so they come in right here. So currently, as we have it set, the gate would go laterally, at one swing in, one swing out, right here. If you look back a couple of pages, you will see the staff's, it's the last page, the stamp civil engineering there. Kind of a short notice, they came back, we got this back, and they wanted us to move the call docks in further and then put in gates here and here, but then we would also have to fence this area.
Where were they going to put the gate?
Originally, the gate was going to sit over here. You could see the little swing right there. So the problem we have with this is we went out and field measured this where these gates would swing, and so we run into some issue with the fact that this is not a realistic dimension. So for that gate to swing all the way open, we would have to move this back substantially to make sure that it clears this radius so cars couldn't make contact as they come around the corner. Mm-hmm. So the other thing we have is that we would now have to fence this big giant hammerhead shape. Well, we've already lost a home site here, effectively. So what we run into is the fact that these gates, it would create an impingement on these existing lots, what we do have left for lots as far as driveways, alignments, and things like that. So we, in the plans, in our original design, this little cut through in the islands is what we had intended for the turnaround. That's when we widened this driveway as much as we did and took out this home here, so that if somebody did come in, identified that they didn't have their credentials, they could turn around and go back out. Now, what my clients have proposed is, because they recognize the number of people that are actually coming for, probably they see more people for deliveries than they do actually residents coming and going. So we talked about that. They said that they would have the gates locked open from 9 to 5, 7 days a week. So that way, people either, I'm not sure, we haven't decided if we're going RFID or clicker on this project, but I'm going to guess we're probably going to go RFID, which is the sticker on your car that as soon as you come around the corner, the reader grabs it and opens it. That would be for at night. One of the things that we've talked about is that because with this project for the standard specification, we have, we did a traffic study since we don't align with what the guideline is on the standard specification. So it's a minimum of 50 feet for 1 to 49 homes or apartments. Now that's based on a non-retirement 55 plus community. So we ended up doing a traffic study, and our traffic study yielded the fact that we only actually needed, it's highlighted, I apologize here, I'm getting a little moved around here. The results indicate that 25 feet of storage is required, referring to the enclosed site plan. The available storage is 50 feet. So we have 50 feet. We really need 25 based on the queuing analysis that was done by the traffic study. So what we're asking for is to keep, I'm sorry, that's all out of line.
No, you're good.
What we're asking for is to keep the gates in their original location, recognizing the traffic count, the traffic study. It's a 55 plus community with very small percentage of people that are still, you know, out the door every morning to go to work. The biggest thing we see, and I'm on that property quite often, have been for a number of years now, the most traffic we see is inbound for deliveries. You see, in a 55 plus community, I marvel, everybody must shop online. So that was our fix, was let's just keep the gates open. That way we're not stacking anybody. So
It's during the daytime.
During the daytime. Yeah. So that was, and that's when we get our heaviest traffic flow. And from a business standpoint, it's when you're trying to sell new homes, you don't want to start, you don't want to slow anybody down that's coming through the door. So we want to help them out as quickly as possible and get them, find them a home. As Public Works had noted on their markup, and I apologize, the way this happened, I was actually out on a field project, and this came back to us on a Thursday afternoon. This drawing came back, and planning came back and said, Public Works came back and said, well, if you can revise this by tomorrow at noon, we can incorporate it. And my engineers, everybody, traffic people, everybody threw their hands up and said, I don't have the time. So here we are presenting our original plan. I am not a proponent of this layout, just because what it does to the community. So this is landscape. We've already moved this curb back. And what happens is when you have wrought iron fence across here, and it's that close to a building, it definitely gives a correctional facility feel to it. When you have that big wrought iron fence that close to what is supposed to be a welcoming facility for guests and residents. So if I can answer any questions. Sure.
Okay. It's nobody here, but I still have to do it by our standards. So go ahead and open this up for public comment. Obviously, seeing none, I'll go ahead and close public comment. And now I will open it up for any questions or comments from the board.
As I said, I went out there today to look at it, and I took pictures of it, and got those. But I was concerned because I bumped into this myself just this week, like this Super Sunday. I went to someone's house, and I went to pull in, and there was a car. Couldn't get in the gate. There was only room to stack one car off of Pecos Road, Heritage Square complex. And there was someone coming out. The traffic on Pecos was amazingly heavy. I couldn't believe it. Crisscrossing, there's always. I was trying to get across into the. I couldn't do it. I probably had to wait 4 minutes just to get across the street to get up to the gate because of traffic. So anyway, that was my latest experience with this. They only had room for one car at a time. And okay. I guess here you have room for two. You can have one at the gate and one behind it, right?
Yeah, we have 50 feet, depending on what your standard measurement is for your vehicle.
Very good. And then is this an air photo? Is this where you're going to have, that you're not going to move the existing curb over here, right?
This existing curb has to come back and create. We had to widen this because we had to make it big enough for a fire truck turnaround.
Right. Okay. So has this been moved? Well, this was recently.
No, it's still in its position. It will get moved back as part of the project.
There's a nice lawn there now, and it can be moved back. But you don't want to look like a prison, I understand that. But Lamb is a busy street, much more so than Pecos, where I was at Pecos over by DI. And there's some cars coming here. And the traffic study said 22 cars a night. That's hard to believe, but I drove around the neighborhood too, and I saw you had a lot of, you got a big sign up saying some of the homes are for sale, trying to get rid of those old ones, right? And you want to bring in new ones. In fact, I saw a new one being brought in. Just south of the clubhouse, in the pool, there's a new, looks like maybe in a double wide, it's a pretty good sized gray building being placed right now. So, and I saw a lot of vacant lots.
That goes back to what I was saying. We recognizing that these were houses that were not going to be inhabitable for what the client's needs were.
Right.
We went in and there was nobody living in them. So we went through the process to demo and export 50 houses. So okay. It was quite a project.
Yeah. I got a lot of empty lots right now.
Well, we're trying to fill them up.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that brings us back to the traffic study. Are all the existing homes there occupied, or are there a lot of vacancies in there now besides?
There's most of it's occupied.
Most of it's occupied.
Yeah, and so, and I guess if I can go back to your example, what time of day was it? What day? So it was Super Bowl Sunday.
Super Bowl Sunday was about half an hour before the game.
Yes. So half an hour before the game. Half an hour before the game. In my defense, sir, my game would be open, and you'd have whizzed right over to your friend's house.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the whole situation there, and I know older people don't come and go as often, And the 22 cars that the traffic guy did is probably a lot of Amazon trucks and stuff, you know. I dig that. But it just, you've got 31 acres. How many lots you got in there?
We have 274 total home sites.
274. Yeah, to me, and I know that the people are more sedentary and they don't come and go as much, but 22 an hour for 372 lots is...
274.
274, okay, 274 lots, yes.
I know what, for me, one of the things, if this was to be approved, there's a couple of things that I heard you say that would have to be conditioned on there. One is the gates being open between 9 and 5, because that was not stated in the staff report. Two, I didn't see anywhere in the staff report about having the RCC or however it would be coded on people's vehicles so that the gate would automatically open once you drove up to the gate if you were a resident. So you wouldn't be queued up or you wouldn't be there. So I think there's a lot of things that you've mentioned to help to, you know, with the traffic issue that was being brought up. And so I would think that those things that you had stated would need to be in part of a condition that, you know, and after a certain hour, say 5 o'clock or, you know, whatever that time might be, knowing that at 55 there's not a lot of extra guests coming in after a certain time, but making sure that whether it's the clicker or some kind of other way that people can access and get in a lot quicker would have to be something.
So we've done both. I am predisposed to RFID. RFID is fantastic. As soon as you come around the corner, the reader, it grabs it just as soon.
Like a garage door opener.
It's almost like when you go to the car wash and you have the monthly sticker when you pull into the car wash.
Right.
And as soon as you get near that panel, it throws it up.
Don't use that example because that thing's slow sometimes.
Well,
I have. I'm just saying. I'm just saying that one right there down there on Nellis is not the fastest one. You sit there for a few minutes. Not a few minutes.
Okay,
but
that might be
it can't be.
Well, don't beat me up on your bad experience. Come on.
If it's getting better, then you know. Okay.
So the clicker is kind of an earlier technology, typically more expensive, kind of harder to keep track of. Nice thing about stickers, I can remotely operate the system. I can lock the gates open. I can open them, close them from my office. I'm in Washington State, live out in the mountains. So I have one in Arizona that we operate. It's a fantastic system. And we can add credentials from our office. So if you tell me what sticker you gave out, I can add that credential. They could do it on the property.
And is that the same for emergency vehicles and all that? They have a different way of...
They'll have like a Knox box, and these is the box that is mounted up higher on the gooseneck that they pull up and they put their key in the fire crews have.
Okay, one other question I have, or one other comment I have about gates in general, and this is at a lot of properties just around the valley, that gates tend to somehow break. They tend to not work, or they tend to have some kind of issue where one of them are half open, the other part is this, and you know, you get those situations where, you know, it takes some time for maintenance to come in or whatever and have them working properly. And it just happens a lot. And so is there a property manager, property somebody who then could, you know,
yeah, they're literally that building right there. That's their office. So they look out at the entrance. So, and they have cameras trained on it. So, even right now, they have cameras trained on it, so they know when people are coming and
so
going.
What are their hours of operation?
So 9 to 5, and I mean, I would speak for the client. I think we're amenable if 9 to 6 is more palatable. I think that's, I mean, we can do that. I mean, I know 9 to 5 was a. They went, well, what is it? The office is open 9 to 5. That's somebody that's staffed there that whole time. We have that way. The other piece that, I guess going back to what you were saying, Mr. Williams, is that the gates are, with the safety loops on them, are set with such that if it stutters, it defaults to open. or if it bumps into something, it defaults to open. Okay. So it has a pressure sensor in the arm that controls it. Mm-hmm. So the instance where things get stuck is probably less rare, or is less common than it probably used to be. Nowadays, the controllers, the little box that we mount that controls mm-hmm. is all online. In fact, I can log on to the, we can log on to the one in Arizona and watch the cars drive by. They're that high tech, and so we can set all sorts of parameters. But if there's an extenuating circumstance, if it's Super Bowl Sunday and we want to leave it open until 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night, we can do that remotely. It doesn't have to be somebody there physically.
There we go. That was my question.
Yeah, and so it doesn't have to be physically someone there that operates it. I mean, you can do it from your phone, you can do it from, it's pretty impressive right. technology.
That's and so
pretty.
The other part about a call box, if for some reason a resident can't get in, if they do a push button, a call box, can it directly go to someone 24 hours that could then remotely open that gate? If for some reason the bar thing or whatever you guys set up is not working and they can't get in or the gate gets...
So there's on all of Inspire communities, their communities always have the backup number. So if you can't get a hold of XYZ resident, you can hit the sales office and somebody will hit the button to let you in. Now, I want to qualify that statement in this situation. Now, I don't know if there's going to be someone that is going to be attentive to that at all times, or if we can remotely set it to fall back to that. So I think we probably could in the programming.
And then my last question, for my clarification, and I know you stated it, this is a request and something for the residents have requested this, or is this the owners of the property who wants the gate?
Residents were asking they do a lot of community functions, and they had one that went from, it was more of a community meeting to then to kind of a community, like, fun event. And people were talking about the fact that there's been some incidences with people, things getting stolen out of their yards and things like that. So I have actually been on the property when there was actually a shooting. So there's been, and that was one of the things that was brought up by Metro are you guys, we heard you're working on a gate, or are you guys doing on your gate? So.
Now, is this cost for this gate and or the maintenance of a long-term gate? Because most gated properties will then have some association dues that then fall back on the resident. Because if you're talking about this is 55 and over, most of these people, and because it is a trailer community, are probably on some type of a fixed income of some type. So does this fall back on the residents of this community?
No, the owner is funding this directly themselves.
So okay, and the maintenance and the whole keeping on that.
Yes, and I would, knowing what I built one of these in Cottonwood, Arizona, it's a twin to this project. It is the client funded it themselves, takes care of it themselves. I see all the invoices all come through my office, so I know what they spend on this. And owning gates, I will stand in front of you all saying right now, I'm 30 some years in the construction industry, I've built massive projects. One of the hardest things I've ever built in my career is a gate. And they are expensive to operate.
And that's why I asked the question, who encounters the cost? Because I know you want to, get it full, for one. You want, every lot to be, because that,
yes.
Whatever that cost or whatever that maintenance cost going back to the company would help that. I just didn't want, folks who are, sometimes people don't know what they're getting into when they request things.
Yes.
And things come with upkeep, things come with a cost. And I didn't know who was bearing that cost and if it was going to go back onto those people with fixed incomes.
That's a fantastic question, because the capital project, it's an expensive project. But I guess if I were to be a salesperson and standing in front of you and I was trying to sell you a new home, it's easier for me to sell you a home off of 2800 South Blam with a gated community, with a brand new home and a new driveway and a brand new pool and a brand new clubhouse. That gate is just kind of icing on the cake. After I've already taken you through and shown you what everything else we've done, the gate is kind of, it's that push, okay?
Right. It is that push, but it also is, you know, somebody's going to say, what was my association dues associated with all those amenities? Because that's what people, you know, people pay for the amenities, they pay for safety, they pay for those things. But if it's, this is something that, you know, is not going to
No, it's not being amortized into lot rents, and in no way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about a fixed community income, fixed community.
No, and that's one thing. My clients own this one and then Bramblewood, which is up off of Owens. And, you know, same thing. They try to keep the rents reasonable. So, I mean, they don't want to run off residents, obviously. So, and that was the whole point of when they bought this community, they saw that there was a lot of upside as far as taking out older homes, refilling. Right now we're working on a major electrical project to start updating some of the transformers and things to make it more reliable in summer months. So my client is always on the side of trying to improve their communities because obviously it bolsters population, and that's good business at the end of the day.
How many exits are there going to be? Just one?
Just the one exit. That's all the community has right now.
Okay. I was saying for 200 homes.
270.
I live in a community that has 72 homes, and we only have one, and it sometimes can be kind of crazy.
Yeah, and a typical community, I would say an all-ages community, yes. But I've been out there in the mornings with the guys on the excavator demoing homes, and it's just amazing how quiet it is. I mean, we paved one day, and we asked everybody, you know, we went down the whole street and said, hey, you know, we're going to be paving today, and nobody moved their car. Everybody said, I'm staying in for the day, so don't worry about it. We will just want to watch you guys. And I was like, okay, well, cool.
So is there a possibility that once everything, let's say you get all 200 homes filled, is there a possibility for another exit?
We have looked at possibly doing something out onto Valley View, but, you know, or excuse me, yeah, Valley View. Vegas Valley Drive. We looked at that, and right now the clients, you know, everybody kind of bristled because there's utilities that would have to be interrupted and rerouted. So that was kind of another issue that we ran into. Plus, we get into a situation where I've got to try and get a new entrance out of Valley View and around Vegas Valley Drive, and I got to go through this process again and try and get another gate put in. So.
Well, I know, back to you, what your comment is, I mean, when you look at fire, and they usually have another gate that sometimes is a crash gate, where it's just, you know, for their purposes and for, you know, them to get in and access an entrance a lot easier, faster for fire and, you know, those kind of services.
Not in disagreement whatsoever.
Especially with this size of...
I would love to see us have a second. I talk about this on a lot because I live out where there is forest fire, so we talk about a lot about, you know, second egress and things like that. But in this instance, that was one of those things that, like I said, it becomes such a huge capital project that I think that would be a stretch, because we've got right now we were staring down the barrel of about a $3 million electrical upgrade. So right now we're in the process of trying to obviously not raise rents on residents and also do something to make the grid more reliable. So right now we're talking about a $250,000 project to work on our transformers, our air-cooled transformers turned to liquid transformers, and start making some upgrades to that system to make it more reliable for the residents, especially in the hot summer months. So.
I think as long as they know that there's a plan B in case, because you never know, we don't know what it's going to be like when 200 homes are there. So if there's...
Well, at some point there was, so I would...
But there was no gate.
True.
So now,
but they also didn't have the technology, so I...
No, the gate sounds fabulous. I guess I'm just concerned. I'm like, okay, I wouldn't want to be trapped with 200 people in one exit. If I called you up and said, hey, can we get another gate? Would you be able to do that? In the back of your mind, you kind of have a plan B.
I mean, if money wasn't an object and my client said, go for it, I could figure it out. I could make it happen. And if there were some block grant monies, I'm sure we could figure something out. So.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Is there a motion? I would make a motion to approve this item based on staff's request. But before I, let me take that back. I would make a motion to approve with the conditions of one.
Gate stays open.
Gate stays open, as you stated, between the hours of I would say 8 to 5 or something like that, because people are going to work before 9 o'clock. So I would actually go 8 to 5 or 8 to 6, whatever makes sense. Let's go, let's just say 8 to 6 for now. You guys can figure that out. 8 to 6, and then 2, to have some type of system, whether it be the RFID or clicker system.
We definitely could do RFID. I think it's a better product.
So with the RFID system attached to the gate. So that would be my motion.
Okay, second.
So, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay. So your next thing is the Board of County Commissioners Commission meeting on the 6th. Okay. And then we'll give you these
copies.
What's that?
That way you won't have to make more copies.
I got these more copies of this.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all for your time.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We find that they are climbing over the fence behind us, so we're
good. All right, we're going to go ahead and move on to item number 7, which is our general business. Any general business? Okay. And then we'll move on to our last item, which is comments by the general public. A period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board. Jurisdiction will be held. No vote may be taken on the matters not listed on the posted agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step to the speaker. Quote, if applicable, clearly state your name and address and spell it. Your last name for the record. Is there anyone who would like to be heard for public comment?
I'm going to give you a break again this week.
All right. You got something.
He's got something.
All right. On that, we will go ahead and close the public comment. Next item is our next meeting is slated for February 29th, 2024. With that, meeting is adjourned.
All right.
Now the preview of your next agenda. They sent it out today.
I know, because President's Day.
Yeah, but what if we held it over here?